Okay, Refuah Shleimah. Okay, Rabbi Shlomo, let's begin. Parshas Vayetze. This week is Parshas Vayetze. It's not Rosh Chodesh. It's not Shabbos. It's not any special event, but there's an interesting Rashi. What? Kiddush Levana. But I think that there's a little remiss to what is the significance of this week's Parshas Vayetze, at least this year. The first Rashi says, Vayetze Yaakov, Al yidei shebeshvil shiroois benois kanan beinei yitzhak aviv holach esav el yishmoel hifseko imi. The last section of Parshas Tolos describes Esav, he saw that Yaakov, that Yitzhak and Rivka sent away Yaakov to Lavan to get married, and they did not approve of him marrying a girl from the land of Canaan. So Esav also said, I'm also not going to marry a girl from Canaan. I'm also going to take a woman from a different country. I'm going to take my cousin from Yishmael, one of my cousins. And that's why the last Yipsukim described the marriage of Esav to the daughter of Yishmael. And now when we got that out of the way, that was a little bit of a distraction. So Rashi's last words are, Umishagomar, Chozar le'inyin harishayim. These are Rashi's Hagdama to Parshas Vayetze. The essence of Parshas Vayetze is, let's put aside the distractions and let's get back to business. Back to business. Chozar le'inyin harishayim. I'm just saying, wild drush is that we just concluded Chodesh Cheshvan. Chodesh Cheshvan, some, when they mevarich Chodesh Cheshvan, they say Mar Cheshvan. Why do they call it Mar Cheshvan? A bitter month of Cheshvan. And that's because there's no special Moed. There's no special significant event in the Chag that elevates, in the Chodesh, elevates the Chodesh to be something unique. Tishrei, we have all the Moadim. Now Kislev, you know, Chanukah, Teves is also Chanukah, Shvat is Tu B'Shvat, Adar is of course Purim, and then we have Nisan is Pesach, Iyar is Pesach Sheni, Sivan is Shavuos, and then Tammuz is Shivasa B'Tammuz. We begin the Yimei HaMitzarim. The Yimei HaMitzarim is a spiritual ascent. It's Avelis for the Beis HaMikdash. It's on the one hand, it's a sad event, but yet it's also an event where we're doing a special avoid to come to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Shavuos B'Tammuz, and we come to Tisha B'Av, and then Elul is already the Yimei of when we begin to the avoid of doing tshuva. So all of the Chodashim of the year have a special avoida. There's a special avoid in each of the Chodesh. The only Chodesh that has nothing unique about it is Chodesh Cheshvan. Chazal say, and that's for a reason, because it's reserved for Yimois HaMashiach. Yimois HaMashiach, Chodesh Cheshvan is going to be something very, very special. Now, how does that coincide with what we learned today about the Nevi'i Shlishi? I don't know. Okay, that has to be understood, what it means exactly. This is what Chazal say. Chazal say that Cheshvan has been put aside for Yimois HaMashiach. It's something very special, but at least in times of Golis, it's very plain, ordinary, pedestrian. There's nothing happening in Chodesh Cheshvan. Now that we have entered into Chodesh Kislev, this Sunday was Chodesh Kislev, we're now in a new beginning. Chozar le'inyin harishayim. We get back to business. Back to business in the uniqueness in doing a special avodah. Inyan Harishayim means what our purpose in this world is. Our purpose is to be special, to find a special role, a special purpose in serving Hashem in a unique way. Okay, now this parash, the parash begins with the idea of Yitzias Tzadik Min Hamokon. Vayetze Yaakov Min Be'er Sheva Yelcholon Rashi on this pasuk says, Lo hayitzarch lichtoiv ella vayelech Yaakov Charan. The only thing the pasuk should really say over here are the words Yaakov went to Charan. Why did it say vayetze Yaakov? Ravolam on his gear yitzias soy ella. The answer is magid she yitzias tzadik min hamakoyim oise roisham oisar roisham. It makes an impression. She bezvan she tzadik biir hu hoida hu ziva hu hadara. The tzadik's stay, when the tzaddik is in a makam, this is the beauty. This is the beauty of the makam. Yatsa misham pana hoida, pana ziva, pana hadara. When the tzaddik leaves with him, it goes with him, the beauty, the ziv, the hoida. I don't even know what these words mean. It leaves with him. And therefore, that is why the pasuk emphasizes this halacha. Vayetze Yaakov teaches the halacha, and Rashi quotes an example, a very interesting example. V'chein vateitze min hamakayim ha'amur bina Ami v'Rus. Naomi and Rus, they left the land of Moab to return to the land, to Eretz Yisrael. That is the example that Rashi cites. Why does it say that Naomi and Rus and Naomi and Arpah, they left the land to stay Moab, to return to Eretz Yisrael, to teach you exactly this halacha, that as long as Naomi, Rus, and Arpah were living in the land of Moab, Moab was a different place. They took pride in the beauty, the hoy, the ziva. Actually, Rashi there has different words. Rashi does not use the same words. Rashi says the word shavacha, it's praise. That's a different topic of discussion, but it's the same idea. Okay, here's the question. The question is, what about Avraham, and what about, let's look at Avraham. What about Yitzchak as well? Avraham, he lived in Choron. Avraham, he started out in Naharam Naharayim. And Hashem appears to Avraham, and Hashem says, Vayim Hashem Avraham, lech lecha, me'artzcham, me'latcham, be'sadich, l'arus ha'shareka. And it says, Vayetzei Avraham. Actually, the word Vayetzei is the exact same words I used there in Parashas lech lecha. The words there are, Vayelech Avraham, kasher, kasher, diber ilov Hashem, Vayelech, Vayelech ito lot, v'Avraham ben chamesh, shonim, v'shivim, shana, be'tzei so me'choron. Okay, the word say so, the word yitzia. Quite, Rashi doesn't say, why does it have to say the words bit say so yimei choron? All it could have said was, vayelech avram hoya, he went to vayelech avram, kasher diber lov Hashem, vayelech itolo avram hoya, ben chomei shonim v'shivim shana, soif pasuk. Why does it have to say bit say so yimei choron? We know that. We know that we have other sources to tell us where Avraham lived. Why does Rashi first tell us this chiddush, that whenever it says in the Torah the word vayetze, it's teaching you a yisoid that yitzias sadik men hamakayim oiser roisham, calls man shusham hu hoida ziva hadara. And if you want to give another example, I'll give you an example in the Megillah. The Megillah, it says there, when Rus, Naomi, when they left, they made a roisham. What's going on over here? So I want to say a drush. It's probably way off, but it's an idea. An idea to think about. Question. This is a question which all the Mepharshim they grapple with. They struggle with. There is no good answer to the question. How could it be that Rachel and Leah, the whole parasha here is all about Rachel and Leah. How could it be that Rachel and Leah turned out to be such fine, good people? And you have the same kasha with regard to Rivka. Rivka. How is it Rivka turned out to be such a good person? She was the one of the most. Rivka, Rachel, Leah. We're dealing here with Lavan. Lavan is a very problematic person. Arami oived avi. Chazal. What does Rashi say in Parashas Kisava? Who is the Arami? Lavan. Bikesh Lavan la'akar esakal. Lavan, every play, every whole parasha, the parasha really should be called Lavan. That would be a very good name for this parasha, because the whole parasha from beginning to end deals with Lavan, his trickery, and his is a very complicated person. Every step of the way, he's making trouble. He switches Rachel and Leah. He says, you're going to live here for nothing? I'm going to let you come here and do nothing over here? You're going to have to work for me. So he works 7 years. Yaakov works as a slave for his own relative, own blood relative. He gets tricked. He marries the wrong. He gets the wrong wife. He works another 7 years. And then Yaakov wants to leave. He makes a business arrangement with him. The chlafti as a seres parim. He switched the arrangement, the financial contract with Yaakov 10 times. And then what happens? He runs away, and Lavan runs after Yaakov to kill him. Bikesh, that's what Rashi says, when he ran after Yaakov and his two daughters, he wanted to kill Yaakov. Bikesh, Lavan, la'akar esakol. I'll read you the Rashi in a few moments in Parashas Kisavo. And Hashem appears to him, and Hashem says, don't you dare do anything bad, not good, not bad, stay away. And then he has a conversation, and then he makes a bris with stones, and then he looks for the trophim. He starts kimimashta. What's the word? And you felt he goes into Yaakov's home, and he goes through every possession that Yaakov has. He has to go touch and look and analyze. This Lavan fellow is a very problematic fellow, and he is the mother of Rachel and Leah. And yet Rachel and Leah, noshim tzidkanim, Such good people. We all come from them. And the Shvachis, how could it be? The father is so corrupt. The people there are under his influence. And two little girls. Girls, Noshim are very impressionable. They're very young. She comes out to the well. She draws water. More water, more water. And she's so kind. What's going on over here? How did it happen that his two daughters remained faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a wicked, problematic environment? This is a question which many of the commentators struggle to answer. And it's very hard to find an answer. I did come across one answer, which not exactly what it says, but it ties very much into what Rashi here says. It says, the answer is, when Avraham once upon a time used to live in Haran, Avraham left Haran when he was 75 years old. That's what the pasuk says. For 75, and when did Avraham Avinu, when was he makir the Ribbono Shel Olam? When he was 3 years old. Then some say, but later, there are different stages of his development. So he was there for at least 73 years. He was the moral conscience of Haran. He was Avraham o Ivri. Everyone was on one side, and he was on the other side. He had his little Chabad house over here, and everyone else stayed a mile away. No one went near him. This person is just not normal. He's not playing, following the rules. He's honest, he's ethical, he talks about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Stay away. But yet, he was the moral conscience of Haran. And he was there for 73 years. When Avraham Avinu picked up his bags, Vayoyimer Hashem el Avram, Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, Me'uladcha, Me'be'savicha, La'aretz Asher Eka, and he packed his bags and he left. He was 75 years B'tseisoy Me'charon. This was the Iker Yitzi. When he left, Yitzias Tzadik Min Hamakoim, Oysa Roshan. It made a very big impression. When he left, what, he's gone? How could he be gone? He was the shul that we did not daven in. We no longer have that moral compass, that moral conscience. How could, as long as he was there, they didn't follow what he said, but it made a roshan. They were happy that he was there. And when he was there, it shook them to the core. How do they deal with it? So people like Lavan, they struggle, they worked very hard to ignore it and to distance themselves. But it was there. The power, the influence, the magnet was there. Rachel and Leah and Rivka, they connected to that Roisham. The Iker Roisham is not the Roisham of Yaakov Avinu leaving Kinan. The Iker Roisham that Rashi really is alluding to is a different he's coming to teach that when Yaakov Avinu, when he left Kinan, the whole world came to an end. Did it really? Yitzchak was there. Rivka was there. There were other tzaddikim in that makom to give that makom a ziv, a hoid, and a hadar. It's not the same. You can't compare having one tzaddik to having two tzaddikim. Ein achinami, it's not the same. But Rashi, al derech derush, is coming to allude to a different yitzia. And that yitzia made a very powerful roisham. And that roisham is the roisham that Yaakov Avinu is now coming to benefit from. If Yaakov Avinu would have come to Haran, and there would have been this little girl, Rachel, and she would say, who are you? What are you doing here? Get out of here. So he wouldn't marry her. He wouldn't marry her. He wouldn't. He would be annoyed. And he was, I'm not going to marry this kind of girl. What kind of girl is this? It's only because Rachel was a tzaddikus. Where did Rachel derive her spirituality, her midos? It's because once upon a time, way before they was born, there was a holy person who lived in this country, in this place called Avraham Avinu, and he was there for 72 years, and he was mocked, he was ignored, but he was written up in all the newspapers. He was known. He had a legacy. And people subconsciously, they thought about it. And then when she was born, the family thought about it. People talked about it. Maybe there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. Maybe there is something to Chesed. Chesed Li Avraham. Let's think about this. It made a very powerful Roshan. And here, Yaakov Avinu is coming back to be Nene, to derive benefit, to reap the peros, to reap the crop of the Yitzias Tzadik Min HaMokoyim that happened two generations ago. Look at Rashi. Rashi is almost Meduyik in Rashi. It says, Vayetze Yaakov Mibe'er Shava, Vayelech Chorona. Why does the Pasuk have to say even Vayelech Chorona? We know that. That's the last week's parasha. V'atoy Merivko El Yitzchak Katzi B'chayai, Yitzchak calls, Vayverach Vayetze, Vayomolo Lo Sigach Ish, Nosan, Kumlech Padena Aram. Go to Padena Aram. Padena Aram is Choron. We know that. So just say, Vayetze Yaakov. Vayetze Yaakov. Rashi turns it the other way around. Rashi says, Lo hayat sarach lichtav ela vayelich Yaakov Chorona. There's something about Choron. V'lama hizkir yitziyasai. Why does it say the yitziya? Ela magid she yitziya tzadik min amokam. I'm trying to say over here is, why does it say yitziya? It should have just said Choron. I'm saying al derech drush because the pause is coming to Lutas. Take the word vayetze and connect it to Choron. Vayetze me Choron. Who was the one that left Choron? Avraham. And what happened when Avraham left Choron? Wow. There was an earthquake. He made a roshan. The tzaddik is no longer here. People were in mourning. And that mourning affected the entire society. People spoke about it. It rippled. The ripple effect went down generations. Rivka and Rachel and Leah were only religious, were only tzaddikim, because of the Yitzia of Avraham min Choron, which made the Roshan. The Pshuta Shomik, of course, is Yaakov Avinu was leaving Canaan. He's leaving Yitzchak and Rivka all alone. Yitzia Sadik min Amakim Oyser Roshan. But there's too much going on over here in this pasuk that you cannot ignore the fact that we're also coming back to allude to Avraham Avinu, his Yitzia Mei Choron. And the major, major question which everyone struggles is, where in the world did Rivka and Rachel and Leah, where did they get? Did they get their spirituality? Where did they get the ideas to be religious? Where did they get this come from? It has to all go back to Avram. When did that happen? They never saw Avram. Rivka never saw Avram. Rachel and Leah never saw Avram. You know, they didn't see Avram. But when a tzaddik leaves, Oyser Roshan, people were shaken up. He left. He left. There was a shake-up in society. And that caused people to talk. And that changed the world. And now Yaakov Avinu is coming back to reap the benefits of the Yitzhiya, the Roshan, that Avram Avinu made when he left Haran. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. We have here in this parasha, Kefitzas HaDerech. Okay, Kefitzas HaDerech. Twice in the parasha. The first Kefitzas HaDerech is Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, it says, Vayifka B'Makoyim. He went to Choron, Vayifka B'Makoyim. He met up in a certain place, Vayol and Shem Kivo Hashem, the sun sets suddenly. It's a long Rashi. Rashi over here says, what happened exactly? Vayifka Kosev Ezemakoyim, Elemakoyim HaNiskel Makoyim Acher. Okay, Vayifka, I'm reading over here quickly the Rashi. Rashi over here says, Vishina HaKosev V'loy Kosev Vayispalel L'landecha. Does not say Vayispalel. It's a change in Lashon. Without going into details, L'landecha. Shekofso Loy Ha'aretz. That the earth shrank. He was able to reach his destination much quicker than normal. What exactly happened? Rashi goes on to explain. I'm jumping it over here to Rashi's because there's a lot of Rashi's, and Rashi elaborates over here exactly what happened. Here we go down to Pasuk Yitzayin. When he comes to the base of Lukim, it says here in Pasuk Yitzayin, Shebe'er Sheva, Oymeid B'Jemeshal Yehudu V'Shalim B'Tzvayna. Okay, let me go back a little further. Here it is. Oymer Ani. Okay. Nimsa Sulam Sharagla Beber Sheva, Vroisha Beisel, Magia, Emsa Shippur, Negi Yushlein. Uklapesh Amrabo Seinu Shamakh Shbahu Tzadik Zebol Beis Maloini, Vipotabolo Lina, Via Ramru, Yakakol Yushan Beisel, Vizuluz. I'm sorry, I don't have the Rash and Wolf Rash over here. Now I got it. Okay. Vim Toymach Shavar, Yaakov al Beis Hamikdash. Madua loy ikvu sham. Yaakov Avinu, when he was passing by, Yaakov went from Canaan all the way to Haran. He passed over the Yerushalayim. He passed through Yerushalayim. And then Ihu, this we don't need that part. Just look at these lines. I'm just reading the lines that we need. Ihu lo yoyev libe lehispalo b'mokayim shispalo avoysof. Uminashamayim yakvu. And they held him back. When Rashi goes through, Ihu ad choran ozal. Here's the real words that I mean. Yaakov Avinu, he left Canaan, and he made it all the way until Haran. Very, very long journey. And when he reached Haran, that means he already passed through Yerushalayim. He did not get off at the stop. It was a stop on the train from Canaan to Haran. In the middle, let's say there were 10 stops. Stop number 5 was Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash. Yaakov's on the train. I don't need to get off over here. I have no business in Yerushalayim. My stop, I'm going to Haran. So he stayed on the train and went all the way down to Haran. He comes to Haran, he gets off the train. Ihu ad Haran ozal. Kidamin perik girnosha. Ukra mochiach, vayel Harano. Kimotul Haran, when he got off the train in Haran, Omar, he said, wow, efshar, shavarti al mokoim shispalu avoysai v'lo hispalti bo. I'm a fool. I made a big mistake. I had a great opportunity in life. I was on the train. I went from Canaan. There are 10 stops. Stop number 5 was Yerushalayim. Not gender specific. They made the announcement on the train. You know, it's on the news. There was no gender specific announcement when he came to pass through Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, here's the place where you can exit. He stayed on the train. He went all the way to Haran. He gets off the train and he says, what a mistake I made. I had an opportunity to go to the Kosel HaMaravi and to be Mispal in the Mokim Shispalu Avoysa and I didn't go. Chaval, I made a big mistake in life. Yohiv, so you know what? Let me go back on the train, get a ticket, and go backwards. Let me go back the 5 stops, even though it's going to cost a lot of money, I'm going to lose time, so on and so forth. It's Kedai. I'm going to go get a ticket. He goes to buy a ticket, and lo and behold, he opens up his eyes, and there he is. He's right in front of the Kosel HaMaravi. A miracle. Hashem took the Kosel HaMaravi and brought the Kosel HaMaravi to Yaakov Avinu. Yohiv daiti lemahader, v'chozar ad beis el, v'kov soloi haderech. And the derech was shortened for him, at kefisas haderech. Okay, now, you have to really go back to the previous Rashi, where Rashi tells us that the kefisas haderech was not a kefisas haderech of, that he had to travel, but instead Hashem brought the mokoim to him. And let me read you that part of that Rashi to explain that part of the detail. There it says, ki beisel, let me see, svayinu beisel, lomim nimsa sulam, klav nishar rabbi seinu shar vadash tzayzeb, lomim nimsa sulam, where is that Rashi? Where is it? Nekahamariya.
It's Rashi before, like in the middle.
Which pasuk?
Yitzayin.
Pasuk Yitzayin.
Halfway through the middle of the line.
Ihu.
Is it that?
Shabbat base amigdash lekras base arshul chumash.
No, it's the left side, six lines down.
Six lines down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Omer ani shenekar har hamoria ubalikan. Vizohi kefitzas haoretz hoamura. You have to combine these two parts of Rashi to get the whole picture together. So let's review the points, because the important point I want to make. What happened over here? Yaakov, he knew he was in Canaan. He wants to go to Haran. 10 stops on the train. He succeeds. He reaches Haran. He gets off at Haran. Boy, did I make a mistake. I had an opportunity to get off in the middle to go to Yerushalayim, to the Kosel, and I decided not to do so. That was a foolish mistake. So he gets on, goes around to the other side of the tracks. He buys a ticket. And before he gets on the train, lo and behold, what does he see in front of him? He sees the Kosel HaMaravi. Hashem was Oiker Har HaMaria and brought Har HaMaria to Yaakov Avinu. This is called the Kfitzas HaDerech of a Tzadik. It's not the Pshat Kfitzas HaDerech when you travel like Eliezer. When Eliezer went and he traveled, what happened back at Eliezer? He traveled from Canaan all the way to Aram Naharaim to find the Shechel Yitzchak. It does not say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Haran, took Aram Naharaim and brought it to Eliezer. doesn't say that. It means the distance, what would normally take 3 days, or whatever the journey was, he was able to do in record time, he was able to do in 1 day, or in a few minutes, in a few hours. Here the kfitz aderech for Yaakov Avinu was that the place, the makom, came to him. Now in this parish itself, there's another kfitz aderech, and that is Lavan. Lavan chased after Yaakov Avinu. And Rashi says, that Lavan was able to overtake Yaakov. Yaakov even got a 7 day head start. It took 7 days until Lavan realized that Yaakov escaped. Yaakov ran away, and then he began to chase after him, and he was able to overtake him in Vayaseg Lavan es Yaakov. Okay, this is in Pasuk Chaf Hei, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Hei, and Rashi says, what does it mean that he was able to overtake him? It means he had kfitzas haderech. Okay, back in Pasuk Habez, Bayom HaShlishi, back in Pasuk Habez, Shei derech shloish es yom mechoy yibineihem, es echav kiroivav, derech shivas yomim, kol oisim gimul yom sholach hamagid, sheholach hamagid, lahagid lulavan, holach Yaakov ledarko. It took 3 days for Lavan to realize that Yaakov escaped, so he's already 3 days, therefore a total of 7 days. He got a 7 day head start. He was traveling 3 days, and Lavan did not start out until 7 days later, because it took 3 days for the person to tell Lavan, and then Lavan began on the next day. So it's already 7 days. Yaakov has a 7 day head start. Nimsa Yaakov rochok mi Lavan shisha yamim uvashvi hisigu Lavan lamadnu. Here's the part I want to focus on. Shekol ma shaholach Yaakov b'shiva yamim holach Lavan biyoyim echad. Shenemar vayirdoif acharav derech shivas yomim vloinemar vayirdoif acharav zayin yomim. Does not say derech. Does not say vayirdoif acharav. It says derech shivas yomim, which means Hashem allowed Lavan to conquer, to go. The derech was shortened by 7 days. So sach hakol, we have here in this parasha, one parasha, parasha Vayetze, twice the topic, the inyan of kfitzas haderech, one in reference to Avraham Avinu, to Yaakov Avinu, and one in reference to Lavan. But there's a fundamental difference. The difference is, with regard to Yaakov Avinu, the kfitzas haderech is, the derech comes to you. You stay put. And the mokoyim comes to you. Lavan experienced kfitzas haderech, where he was able to reach his destination in super-duper time, lemala miderech hateva. In here lies the difference between us and them. Lavan's intent to travel, to overcome, overtake Yaakov, was the worst kavana possible. And this is Ferish and Rashi, in Parashas Kisavoy, in Bikurim, where we read the words Arami Oyved Avi, and Rashi explicitly says, maybe we'll read it soon, is that Lavan, Bikesh Lavan Laakar Esakol, when, exactly at what point in the life of Lavan did Lavan want to destroy Yaakov Avinu? Rashi there says in this pasuk here, when Lavan chased after Yaakov Avinu, it was his kavana at this moment in time to kill him, to wipe out his daughters, his children, everyone should be killed. Because whatever reason, he had a change of heart. Bikesh Lavan la'akar es hakol. Let's read those words. It's important for this topic of discussion. Parshas ki Savo, in the very beginning. Bikurim. Arami oved avi. V'yonisa v'yamar tofnei Hashem lokech. Arami oved avi. Pasuk hey. What does this mean? Maskir chaste hamakam. Arami oved avi. Lavan bikesh la'akar es hakol. Kishirodaf achar Yaakov. So what does that mean? Hakol. Everything. Everything. He wanted to wipe out everything. So Lavan over here, he's trying to do the worst thing possible. And look at that. He has siyata deshmaya. Siyata deshmaya lomala miderech hateva. You know, Hitler, Yemach Shemo v'zichro, he said a lot of these things as well. He had incredible success. Success that was in the beginning of the war. In conquering the neighboring countries, and he set himself their records that he took this as a sign from above, even though I don't know what kind of religion he had or kind of whatever providence that it's meant to be. If he was able to accomplish these successes that are lamala miderech hateva, it's meant to be that he should succeed. He had kefitzas haderech. he was able to achieve things that cannot normally be achieved in the amount of time or the amount of resources that a human being had. So you see, and what was Hitler Yimach Shemo? He was the ultimate evil. We're dealing here with the Shoresh, the evil, evil to the nth degree, evil on steroids. And you see that in times in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does indeed give the Koyach of Ra, Siyata Deshmaya, does give them success, does give them supernatural power, gives them what we call Kifitza Sadech. Kifitza Sadech doesn't just mean you're able to travel a distance in a short amount of time. It means you're able to achieve your goal, to achieve your mission with incredible success. Derech is a mashal for an approach to life, a philosophy, an ideology. And it is something called Kifitza Sadech. Hashem gives a koyach to wicked people in this world to achieve success, even though it's evil. They are the shoresh of evil. But Hashem zeh l'um azeh, Hashem also gives tzaddikim in this world, siyata d'shmaya, to achieve success in the world of Kedusha. Yaakov Avinu, he wanted to be mispalu, to come to the base of mission, mispalu. Hashem also gives success to tzaddikim. How do you hear? But here lies the fundamental difference. The fundamental difference is, you know that you're dealing with Kedusha, when the Siyata Deshmaya is where the Mokoim comes to you, versus success where you go to the Mokoim. In other words, now I cannot define, this is what I'm telling you is raw, but there are examples in life where you can actually sense this at times. Okay, but basically what I'm telling you is very, very raw. In life, sometimes you see people, they achieve incredible things. Is it from the Koyach of Kedusha, or is it the Koyach of Ra? Let me give you an example, which is not a really good example. Someone told this to me, and it made a very big impression upon him. He told me that he had a lot of money in tzedakah to give. He had a lot of money. He had a windfall, and he wanted to do a chesed. He wanted to give away a lot of money to tzedakah. So he asked the person, "How do I know who to give the money to?" Very big dilemma. What do you do? Which organization? What do you do with the money? What should I do exactly? So this person said to him, "I'll tell you the simon." He said, if someone comes and knocks on your door and says, "Oh, can I have some money? I have a very big tzarach. I have a very terrible thing happened to me. I need stuck. I need help, please. It's a terrible thing. And I have all the letters and it's legit." Okay, there are a lot of legitimate things that people need money for. Give them money, of course. You should always give stuck. But if you find yourself in a situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought you to a place, not that someone just knocked on your door, called you up. You were brought to a place, and lo and behold, in an unusual way, and lo and behold, you sing something, and you know there's a need. Hashem is bringing you here. Hashem wants you to give your money to this cause. Now it sounds very vague, and obviously it's very abstract. So he told me exactly what happened. He says, you know, over time people always come to him, they know that he has money, know he's wealthy, they come to him, so he gives the money. He's very generous, very generous. But then he was in an event. He went to a simcha. He went to a very unique simcha. And after the simcha was over, they wanted to have a mincha. And where they have a mincha, this is in the location where there's a mincha. Oh, there's a mincha over here. So they had to go search. They found, they went to mincha. Oh, they found to a special mincha. And at this mincha, there was another person that happened to be there. And the hashgacha person happened to sit down. And they started to talk. And this person told them about something very personal, a very, very unique tzara, a problem that he had. And he said, it just went off in his mind like a flash of lightning. What this person told him, if Hashem takes you somewhere and shows you, that means this is where he wants you to give the money. You did not anticipate going here. When you woke up in the morning, you never in your wildest imagination thought you would be in this location. Your day was planned. Somehow, due to unusual circumstance, Hashem brought you to this place, and brought that other person to this place, and you had this conversation, and this inyan is something which you're very familiar with. It's like he said, he felt it, like exactly what this rabbi told him, is if this something like this happens, that's where it's a legitimate cause, there's no question about it. There are many legitimate causes, but it's not just another collector coming to your house and saying, you know, we have a yeshiva, we have a kollel, we have a tzar, we have a yosem, we have a chachnasas kala, and this and that, we have needs for children at risk, they're all good causes, and he gives money to all different causes, but he wanted to give something very significant. He felt that Kadosh Baruch Hu, he brought him to this place. Now, it's the same idea in Kvitz HaDerech. There are different types of Kvitz HaDerech. There's a Kvitz HaDerech where you get what you're supposed to get very quickly. I have a plan to go there. I'm going to go to that location. Will it just take me 3 days? I got there in 1 day. Wow. But then there's a kafit sadech HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings it to you. You don't go anywhere. The makom comes to you. Also unusual. L'mal nerech hateva. That type of kedusha where it comes to you is only shaykh in kedusha. Evil will never have that type of kefitza saderach. Evil will have Hashem allows in this world there to be a kefitza saderach where they're able to achieve things in an unusual way, faster, quicker than usual. But a type of kefitza saderach where it's not what you're doing, it's not my effort. It's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing things to me, is bringing events coming to me. Again, it's a little abstract. You have to extrapolate and understand, but the idea is presented in this parasha. That is a type of kfitzas haderech that is unique to a Dovar Shabbat Kiddush. In this week's parasha, we're being presented with two different types of kfitzas haderech. Getting to your destination faster than usual, and a kfitz haderech where the destination comes to you, l'malim derech hateva. When you're going to the destination, that also happens when you're dealing with kedusha. You know, you go out of Yisrael, you're supposed to take 10 hours, and you run come there in 9 hours. The winds are going in your direction, and the airline is willing to spend some more fuel for the planes can fly faster. You know, a lot of planes say they can really get to their destination a lot faster than they can, but they purposely do not because they save on fuel. You know, you go to California, they can get to California very quickly. On a 747, they can get there very, very quickly if they go full throttle. But it's not cost-effective for them to fly to save an hour, to shave off an hour or two off the flight if they fly maximum speed because the time is not significant in their business model, and the cost of fuel, the more they can burn in fuel, it's just not cost-effective. So if you have kvitz aderech getting to your destination, okay, it's shaykh and kedusha. But that's not unique to kedusha. That applies also to davash of evil. But when it comes to davash of the kedusha, it's the kfitzach where the makom comes to you. Okay, let's go to another idea. And this week's parasha is an obsession about stones. We start off the parasha with Yaakov Avinu going to sleep, and he has a dream, and he sees the sulam, the malachim, olam v'yardim. He wakes up and he says, "I did not realize that I'm sleeping on a place of holiness." And he makes a vayida Yaakov neder lemar. And he makes a neder, if Hashem will be with me, and he will guard me, he will give me food to eat, clothing to wear, then this makom will be a beis Hashem. And he picks up the stone upon which he slept the night before, which miraculously turned into, there were 12 stones which came together to turn into one stone. He pours oil, v'ho even hazos, asher samti matzivo yiyeh beis elokim, v'ho asher titen li aser asren aloch. Okay, a nice story about a stone. Let's go to the next parsha. Yaakov comes to Haran, and he sees people loitering. What's going on over here? What's happening over here? Is there a day off from work? Is today Thanksgiving? Why is everyone sitting around doing nothing? What are you all sitting around? So he says, they say, well, it's a work day, but you know, there's a very heavy stone upon this well, and we have a socialist society, like the pilgrims, like before the like we learned yesterday, and we all have to do it together. Okay, we all have to do it together in order to remove the stone from the well. And we're waiting for everyone to come together. So Yaakov Avinu, I'll be a capitalist, I'll do it myself. Twice what we said yesterday. He taught him about capitalism, you do it, each man for himself. And Yaakov Avinu miraculously, he removes the stone from upon the well, superhuman strength, so all of the shepherds can water their animals and they can go about their business. And also, he does a chesed for Rachel, because Rachel was also there. She came with the tzayin. She also was wasting time. So Yaakov Avinu did everyone the favor by removing the stone for them from the well. He did them a taiva. And from that stone, he met his wife. He met Rachel. He saw Rachel, which ultimately led to Yaakov marrying Rachel. All about a stone. Comes, he meets us, he's a big stone, and he used the stone to remove the stone from the well. Two stories that focus on stones. Is a different stone. The first stone, the focus is on a stone that relates to an area bein Adam lamokim. V'ho even hazois asher samti matseva yihye beis Elokim. This is going to be the beis hamikdash. Yaakov Avinu, he slept on this stone. This stone was a marzev. It protected his head from danger. He now makes this stone into the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is a place where we connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the second story of this parsha, that mentions a stone in a very significant way, the stone is all about Ben Adam Lachaveroi, man and his fellow man. There's no religion in this stone. He comes, he sees people lingering, and they're wasting their time. Rachel comes as well, and no one wants to budge. And Yaakov Avinu, he takes the stone, he removes the stone from the well, and he makes life easy for them he does a chesed ben adam lachavera. Two stones. Now before we come to the end of the parsha, we have another story of stones. Yigar Sohadusa. And that is what happens in the parsha. When Yaakov finally leaves, he finally escapes the clutches of Lavan Harami, and Lavan says, "Nu, let's make a treaty." Yaakov, he sets up two sets of stones. I'll read you the pasuk. Before we get to the pasuk in this pasuk, which I'm going to explain, I want to tell you another very, very short levart, which is gold by its in and of itself. Levart I saw from the name of our Pinchas Friedman. Our Pinchas Friedman is the one who writes this song called Shevilei Pinchas. He's an awesome Talmud Chacham. Does not need my introduction. He is the Chavrus. He learns every day the Chavrus with the Belzer Rebbe, Shlita in Eretz Yisrael. And he has written many, many sermons. In fact, he has a column in the newspaper in Eretz Yisrael. And they have translated a lot of his things into English. And it's distributed all over Hebrew and English and Svarim v'chul v'chul. And he says a beautiful drush. It says in Parashas Kiseitze, Lo yeh b'chischa, it should not be in your pocket. Even v'oven gedoylo uketana. Lo yeh b'chischa, am I saying the pasuk right? Lo should not be in your pocket. Lo yeh b'chischa, even v'oven gedoylo uketana. Don't have two different stone weights. Two different weights. There's a weight stone you use for when it's convenient for you. You use one stone, and when it's convenient for you, you use another. So in other words, you're a ganef. Don't be in page 561. What pasuk? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Lo yia lecha. Thank you. Lo yia lecha v'chisicha even v'oven gidoyla uketana. Rashi. Gidoyla kim kimish kachas es haketan kim ki kishe mosha kishe mo. I don't know what word is. Es haketana shaloi ye noital bigidoyla umachse bigetana. Don't be a ganef. Don't go when you make measurements. The wholesaler, the retailer, the customer. Don't play games. Don't have different scales. And you charge one. You charge them for the gidoyla. You give them the ketana. You charge the gidoyla v'chulachula. As you understand. You be an honest person. You have one set of scales for everyone. Everything is the same. So Pinchas Friedman says a beautiful drush, and he says that we know that the Aseres Hadibros were given to us on two different stones. The Luchos were given to us on two stones. The first five Dibros and the second five Dibros. Two stones. In Even V'Oven. The first five Dibros focus primarily on Mitzvos Ben Adam La Mokon. The second five dibros focus on mitzvos ben adam lachaveiro. The pasuk here, Alderach Josh is telling you, lo yeh b'chitzcha. When you live your life and you walk in your pocket, schnapp in your pocket, even v'oven, two stones. The luchos, the aseres hadibros, two stones. Gidoyla uketana. In your mind, the one stone is more important than the other. By some people, what's important is adam lamokaim. You only focus. That's the gidoyla. The stone that focuses on Ben Adam Lachaveroi, you can step on your friend. It's not so important. It's much more important than I should run over my friend on the way to Shacharis. As long as I got to Shul on time and I daven a good Shacharis, even though my friend is lying in the street and he's in the hospital because I ran him over. It's more important that I should fight in Shul and get the Amud to daven for my yard side in Adam Lamachim, and in the process I should insult and have bitter enemies in the Shul. And Evan Gedoyla. There are two stones in the Luchos. There's been Adam Lamakim and Lachaveroi. The Gedoyla is Adam Lamakim, and the Ketana is Adam Lachaveroi. And then you have the humanists who hold the Ikari is been Adam Lachaveroi. That's the Ikari. The Ikari is forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is in the way, so you don't have to be religious. You have to just focus on your fellow Chaveroi. That's what's more important. That's also wrong. There has to be a balance. There are two parts to the Torah. Adam l'amakayim, Adam l'chaveroi, there's an Evan and an Oven, they're both equal, don't make one gedolah, do not make one ketana. Evan v'oven. Guess what? This vart of Pinchas Friedman, which is a gem in and of itself, I see some of you are smiling, it's a good vart in and of itself, is really in this week's parasha. Because in this week's parasha, we have two stones. Yaakov Avinu, in the beginning of the parasha, he wakes up and he picks up the stone and he pours oil and he says, "V'evin azos yiyeh beis elokim v'chol asher titein li aser asrenu loch." Ben Adam l'makayim. The next parasha, the next story in the parasha, the next aliyah. Rachel, the people of Haran, he talks to them nicely. He's noig Rashi, as many diyukim. We learn a lot of halachas in the way Yaakov Avinu conducted himself with the people of Haran. He sees them. There's a whole a lot of drush how he speaks, and he asks them, "What are you doing today? Do you know my relative Lavan?" V'chulu v'chulu. And then there's a stone. He takes away the stone in order they can water their animals. He's a gentleman. He's a diplomat. He's the perfect Baal Midos, Yaakov Avinu. And all revolves around the story of people sitting around the stone and he engages them in conversation and then removes the stone. That's the stone of Adam l'chaveroi. Even v'oven. Is one gedoyla, one ketana? How does Yaakov Avinu himself look at these two stones? When Yaakov Avinu finally escapes from the clutches of Lavan at the end of the parasha, what happens? Yaakov Avinu, you have to read the psukim very precisely, what exactly he does. He comes at the end of the parasha and he sets up the galad. What is galad? Galad means gal is a pile of stones, eight, which shall serve as testimony of what I'm saying, not necessarily Jewish, more pshat, of what I have accomplished here in this makom. Now that I finally leave this makom and I go back to Eretz Yisrael, let this serve as a monument to my accomplishments. What are my accomplishments? So the pasuk says, let's see what it says over here. It says over here in the pasuk, okay, 1 second. Okay, v'yata, pasuk mendal, page 92. Perek Laman Aleph, Pasuk Mandal, V'yato l'cho nichus avris ani v'ota, v'hoyo le'ed b'ni v'necha. So Yaakov does two things. The first thing he does is v'yikach Yaakov oven, v'yirimeho matseva. That's the same word that is used in reference to the matseva of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, you have to go back to the Sukkim, it's used before in HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Inu, it's time for you to go back. Remember, you made a neder to me, you made a matseva. You made a matseva when you fell asleep and you sort of had a dream. You took the Evan and you Evan hazos here beis elokim. So Yaakov Avinu went and Hashem told him it's now time to fulfill that neder to go back home. I want to sell derech drush. I want to vayikach Yaakov Oven vayirimeho matseva. He is renewing. He is reviewing in his mind. I'm now about to finally get away from this man, Lavan. Let's take inventory. Let's review. Let's assess what has happened in the last 20 years. When I came here, I had a dream, and in my dream, I had a neder. I'm gonna be good to me, Hashem. I'm gonna be better to you, and you gave me everything. And that vision, that dream, that Kabbalah was all done through a stone. V'ha'even hazoyis asher samti matseva. Right? Asher samti matseva. The word matseva yebeis elokim. Yaakov Avinu is now in his mind reflecting upon that moment. He's going back in his mind 20 years. He's going back, what's it called? He's going back on a... he's going... What?
Deja vu?
No, not deja vu. He's reviewing his life. Is a better expression. He's going back and reviewing his life. Oh, let's take that stone. And then what about the other accomplishment? When I came here, you know, you'd see, and I came here, I got to meet the people, the folks of the town, the people of Lavan, all of his workers. We mentioned Lavan's workers, and I married the two of his daughters. Rachel, when did I meet Rachel? I met Rachel by the stone, by the big stone. Vayoma Yaakov le'echov. Rashi says, who are his echov? What brothers? Yaakov has brothers? What brothers? Esav? Esav is not here. So Rashi says, here it means his children. That's what Rashi says. Rashi pasuk membav. Rashi says membav heim banav. Shohayu lo achim nigashim litzara ulim ulchama alav. His children were there to defend him. His children were there to be part of his tzara. Imaynochi b'tzara. his children. Now the children came from Rachel. When did he meet Rachel? Who are his children? Rachel! Rachel Bitcha HaKetana. Through Rachel, he ended up marrying three more wives. Through Rachel, he ended up marrying Leah, Bilhah v'Zilpah, Banav. And he says to them, each one of you take a stone. Vayomer Yaakov le'achav, lick to avonim. You also take stones. Those stones that they are taking are reminiscent of the stones, of the stone that he saw on the well when he came to meet Rachel, when he came to meet his wife, which produced all of these children.
That's why you give a girl a stone.
Oh, okay. So Mayor, today when the shir is over, you're going to go out and you're going to buy your wife a new stone. Lick to Avonim. Vayichu Avonim. And what did Yaakov do? Vayasu Gol. What's a gol? You put all the stones together. All the stones together, you make one big pile. There's no difference. There's no chilik between Adam la Mokoim, Adam la Chaver. Lo ye v'chisicha, even v'oven, gidoylo ukitano. He's taking all the stones, and he calls it, and he says, and vayasu gol, he makes it, puts the two together, he makes a pile, vayoychlu sham al hagol, and this is what Yaakov Avinu, he's making this as, I'm trying to tell Derech Jewish, he's now, we're tying to the end of the parasha with the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha were the two stones, and look here, he took a stone, he told his children to take stones, they put them together to make a monument, and they sat by the monument, they celebrated. This is our celebration, this is our accomplishments. I went here on a mission for 20 years, mission accomplished. I accomplished ben Adam la Mokoim, I accomplished ben Adam la Chaveray. I have a family, I was honest in my dealings with the people, Hashem Pram, Hashem, I'm going to be Mekai in my neck to make a Beis HaMikdash. Mission accomplished. He took these stones, he put them together, and he put them together. Lavan, okay, now this is a little Jewish, now this is another Dvart, but Lavan, he saw what Yaakov Avinu did. He didn't like it. He didn't like it. He saw that Yaakov Taka outsmarted, Yaakov Taka succeeded. Yaakov was mission accomplished. Vayikru le'lavan yigar sohadusa, but v'Yaakov Koroloi Galit. This is a gal, a mound of all of my accomplishments, my two stones, my two different sets of stones. My two sets of stones, and it's an aid. This should be testimony, a monument of the Tzeruf, Ben Adam La Mokoim, Ben Adam La Chavero, Lo Ye B'chischa, Even V'oven, Gidoylo Ukitana. This is my shlemus, mission accomplished. And he called the Beloshin Kodesh. Lavan kidarkoi. Now this is really going off. It's a different vart, but I just wanted to tie it over here just to explain this. But I think it's the important idea. Lavan kidarkoi. He says, yeah. You did this. You did that. Don't get carried away. I will rewrite history, all of the events, in a secular oifan, in a very secular way. No, in history, it's all a matter of interpretation. You could have the same exact events, and we have someone from the New York Times who has absolutely no shaykhus to Yiddishkeit, no shaykhus. They'll take an event, and they'll write about it, oh, the Siyum HaShas. 90,000 people came together in MetLife to celebrate the Siyum HaShas. And someone who has no clue, oh, it's some type of thing, they read every day this ancient text, it's and what are they doing? It's just a tradition. Like, you can take an event, and you can, everything you say can be accurate. It's 100% true, but the flavor of the way you describe it is so void of sanctity. You're so off the mark. I can't say you made a mistake, because every word you wrote is accurate. Everything you said is completely true, but you just missed the point. You totally missed the point. You just don't get it. You don't get over here what is taking place. You don't understand the kedusha, the sanctity. When you translate something from Hebrew into Aramaic, that's exactly what you're trying to do. You're trying to secularize the sanctity of something. You have the whole history of the Jewish people. We all know. You can go to the library. There are 1,000 books on the history of the Jewish people. And you can read the books that the Jewish people are just like any other nation, any other culture. And everything they write in the book is 100% true and accurate. But they totally missed the point. They totally missed the flavor. They missed the mark of what they're trying to do. That's exactly what Lavan here is trying to do. He's trying to rewrite history. In his language. In his way, which completely desanctifies. Yaakov said, wow. 20 years of awesome, awesome spiritual accomplishment in two different types of stones. The stone of Adam LaMakim, Adam LaChavera, LaYeb Chizcha Evin VaAven. Wow, wow, wow. Gal Eid. L'shoin Kodesh. This is a mound as Eidus to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lavan said, okay, you think you won. I'll one day outsmite, because your version of history will be lost. The only version will be my version of history. It's going to be written in my language. My language is a secular language. And we'll call it Yigar Soadusa. The facts are true. The facts are on the mark. But it's a different language. It's a different language, a different perspective. And no one can say he's the ultimate Ramai. The ultimate Ramai is Lavan. They'll say you came to the well, you did this, you did that, but we'll rewrite history in a very secular way that no one will appreciate the greatness of Klai Yisrael, the greatness of Yadus. Okay, let me just conclude with one last vlog. A lot of more things I wanted to say, we're out of time. But last thing for Thanksgiving. Okay, this is a raw idea. It's not a coincidence that hafeichba hafeichba de kulaba, the parish vayetze, more often than not, falls out in the week of when the Goyish Shavelt celebrates this thing they call Thanksgiving. Yesterday we spoke about it at length. What exactly is the halachic parameters of Thanksgiving? We're going to get turkey, we're going to get celebration. What is it? What's the shorish? It all touches upon the idea of hoida, of giving thanks. Hakaras hatoiv. Today, the common understanding in America of you thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, you thank your country. You have religious freedom. The Puritans, that was one of the most important things about the Puritans, even though they were people who thought they were replacing us, they were suffering from religious persecution. Religious persecution, and they over here were able to have freedom of religion. It was the first celebration of freedom of religion. And there's no doubt, it's an awesome thing that America is the ultimate in time of history. There's never, ever been a time in history where we experience this incredible, awesome bracha of freedom of religion. The Medina Shel Chesed, it's just not to be discounted, not to understand what gift we have here in this country. And that's really what the Puritans were celebrating, even though they are not exactly our friends. They thought they were replacing us, exactly. But it is, to a degree, in their minds, a celebration of religious freedom. Now, all right, but on the other hand, what does that mean exactly? Okay, obviously there are too many questions. I just want to say the following. You saw it. The ultimate expression of Hakaras HaToiv in the Torah is in which parasha? The ultimate. Yeah, we have this parasha, Hapam Oides Hashem, you'll find all over. But there's no shadow of a doubt, beyond shadow of a doubt, the ultimate expression of Hakaras HaToiv in the Chamishei Chumshei Torah is the parasha of Bikurim. Okay, there's no doubt about it. Okay, no doubt about it. In Parashas Kisavai, after you finally enter into Eretz Yisrael and all of the promises that Hashem gave Avraham have been fulfilled, you, the farmer, he takes the first fruits, he brings to the Beis Hamidrash, he bows down, v'inachtav, we discussed this in detail the last 2 days, you bow down, v'inachtav, v'yonisav, v'yamart, l'fnei Hashem lokecha, and Rashi there says, mazkir chaste hamokim. Mazkir chaste hamokim. Let me read you the Rashi. And the first word, Rash, the first word of Hakaras HaToiv is Arami Oiveravi. Arami, he destroyed my father. He killed us. He destroyed us. Now, he didn't succeed. And we say worse about Lavan than we say about Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim only tried. Only by Anunu, Vayinu Linavodakasha. It doesn't say that Egypt destroyed us, even though they really did. They call Habein Hayilad Hayorin Tashlichu. Even though Egypt technically did a lot worse to us. They threw all the children into the Nile. But Lavan didn't do anything. Lavan only had a machshava. And what does it say here in the Pasuk? It says, V'nisa v'yamarta, and Pasuk, hey, Pasuk v'yonisa, what's your name is called? Now here's very, very strange. Rashi, let me read you the Dibur HaMaskol. V'yonisa, l'shoin haramaskol, period. Rashi now quotes the Dibur HaMaskol. You have to remember, Rashi was one of the ones who invented the Dibur HaMaskol. We take for granted this thing called the Dibur HaMaskol. The first words, that was a novelty, an incredible novelty that before you say a perish, you quote the Dibur HaMaskil, and there's so much Torah that when Rashi says a perish on a Dibur HaMaskil, it relates to the Dibur HaMaskil. Rashi's next words are Arami, Oyveravi, Mazkir, Chastei HaMokoim. You mentioned the kindness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of the Mokoim. Mokoim was the Mokoim, Baruch HaMokoim, Baruch Hu is the Mokoim. Place, the location, your host country. If you were writing this Rashi, I guarantee you would not write the words Masker chaste amokim on the Dibur Hamaskim Arami Oviravi. You would write the words Masker chaste amokim on the word Vionisa. Vionisa Viomarta. Loshin Haramas kol Masker chaste hamokim. Then you would write Arami Oviravi. Who is this? Lovon Bike Shlaker Esakol. Kishorodaf Acha Yaakov. Uvishvil Shechoshav Lasas Choshav Loyamokim Kilu Osa. Umois Ha'olam. Rashi adds in more words. The Umay Sa'olam Choshev Lom Koshbarachom Machshava Kemais. If Lovin was so wicked, and indeed he was, no doubt about it, so why does he even get mentioned? Arami, the first words you say of Hakaras HaTayv are the words Lovin. First words, you put the basket, you bow down, the first thing that comes in, Lovin. 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 Lovin, not the Karshine. Where's Lovin? The whole Vayetze is Lovin. We should rename this parasha Lovin from beginning to end. Someone asked me the question, why is Lovin so bad? Lovin was gevaldik. He gave Yaakov Parnasa for 20 years. I mean, it's awesome. Who would give you a job for 20 years? Even if it's a hard job, they don't pay well. He gave him Parnasa. He gave him his two daughters. He gave him two shvachas. Lavan, until he supported him, he let him stay. He came there, he had nothing. Eliphaz took everything. He let him sit in his house for a period of time until he gave him a job. Lavan, in the last week, 2 weeks ago, Lavan, when his sister got married, he said beautiful words. At hayi achoseinu, at hayi lialfei revava, v'yirar zareich eishar soinov. Lavan, you know, why was Lavan so bad? Okay, Lavan was a krumme mensch, a meshugana, he was a conniver, but everything is said and done, he didn't do any harm, no harm done. He gave him, he had a job, he had parnasa, he grew and accomplished in the home of Lavan. Why does Lavan get such a bad, he's a Russia, call him a Russia, Tarash calls him a Russia, BK Shlavan la'akar esakol. So Rashi says, Machshava, at the very, very end, he had a Machshava, he wanted to be Oiker HaKol. Even though, Toiv, Titi Oysach, Mititi Oylishach, there's a lot of very complicated person love. So I don't know what the answer is, but I sort of Moshe write something like this, and I heard this about different things, is that even in Mitzrayim, it says, Dor Shalishi. The Pasuk says, you should remember that you were ger, I don't have the Pasuk on my tongue, you should remember that you were ger in Egypt. When there was a famine, and you were in Canaan, and the Jewish people were about to starve to death, don't forget that Egypt, they took you in. Don't forget that. Oh, but they tried to destroy you, exterminate you, and they tried to destroy you. Yeah, that's a big problem. They're going to suffer. They did suffer, and they will suffer for that. There's no doubt about it. But you have to also understand, don't ignore the fact of the good that they did for you. Don't ignore the fact that they took you in a time of tzara, and they supported you, they gave you what to eat, and therefore, in reward for that, you do take gerim from Egypt. You don't take gerim from Canaan, you don't take gerim from Ammon and Moab, but you do take gerim from Egypt, even though the zeda of the one that's coming as a ger is the person who took your child and threw the child into the wall as a brick. It's very hard to grapple with. It's very, very hard to agree on. Someone told me Germans, you know, there's a minute, you don't buy German products. You don't buy German cars, even though the whole Israel is built on German products and built on German technology, and it's the whole country only got underway because of the reparations that were given to Germany. Let's put that aside. But there was such a minuk that people, oh, it's a German product, a shaver, a Braun shaver, oh, a German product you don't want to touch. BMW, all these things, you don't touch German metal, you don't have to. Someone told me from Avigdor Miller, I don't know if it's true or not, he disagreed with this whole thing. He totally disagreed. He says, Adarabba, you should buy German product. I don't know if it's Ad Kadei Kach. He says, it's right. There are Shom, Yimach Shimon V'Zichron. But you have to also understand, not every German. There was the Nazis, and it was tolerance. There was a silent majority that tolerated. No one's getting a pass. Don't worry. No one's getting a pass in Germany for what happened. Chas v'shalom, it's not for us to give anyone a pass, someone else's blood. Chas v'shalom. But you also, Rav Moshe writes something like this, on this parasha, Rav Moshe, Drash Moshe, and also, is you have to also understand, Jews lived in Germany before World War II, for many, many years, the Tosfos, the whole Talmud came, all the learning, all what we have today, all came when we were a guest in a host country called Germany. Ashkenaz. Everything we have today that we live on, Talmud, Tosfos, the Masorah, was all accomplished when we were guests in a host country called Germany. The pasuk says, take gerim from Egypt. Even though they try to destroy you, and they are the prototype of wicked, of evil, the Erev HaSaretz, you live there. Ki gerim ha-yisim v'yaretzam, you were gerim. So where do you draw the line? I don't know. It's very, very, it's a very, it's a very, it's a very interesting. It's not a coincidence that Rashi is saying the same exact thing. Maskir chastei hamokoyim. And where does Rashi say maskir chastei hamokoyim? Arami. Arami. Happens to be Oyvirazi. Let's not make any mistake. The Arami tried to destroy us, exterminate us. Oyvirazi. But Rashi says, when you say the word Arami, Arami is a comma. Don't forget, you know, Lavan, he gave Yaakov a job. That's no kleinikait. Someone gives you a job. It's no kleinikait. You had parnasa for 20 years. You had a family. You raised a family. Klal Yisrael Teika. Mazgir chastei avos. He's also Eved Avi. America is awesome. It's Medina Shel Chesed. There's never been a time in history where we're zoicha to have what we have like other America. On the other hand, the Sakana is not of Oyam. And the proof is, Rahman al-Stan, all the people who came to America before World War II, millions of people, where are they? They disappeared, Rahman al-Stan, like a puff of smoke. People who came to America before World War II, they came from homes of Yerei Mushplemin, and what happened to them? We don't even know where they are. They disappear like a puff of smoke. People today who we can identify in America as Jews, intermarriage rate is about 70-80%. Okay? Why? Because America is a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place. It's a sakana. Arami, oyvei ravi. But mitzat sheni, Medina shel chesed. Medina shel chesed. Eretz Yisrael only today exists because of the support of America. Dabar pashut. The trillions of dollars of financial aid and everything. So, you got to be careful. Thanksgiving in America is today to give shevach to your country. To the Bereshit, to your country. Bikurim is all about giving Maskir chastei hamokon. What's the first word? Arami. Who's Arami? This is Parsha. Lavan. Coincides. Thanksgiving. A good dinner is always. Now, Machzir, that's the first Rashi. Machzir l'rishayna. It's always. There's something to it. It's not something just to discount. To appreciate the chesed. Lavan is a problematic person. But Lavan is also, we all come from Lavan. That's the bottom line. And you have to find that sweet spot. That sweet spot, Masir Chasti HaMokim, but to be careful, don't let them lock our Es HaKol. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Be well.